All right, praise God. Time for the last part of hardened heart. It's something that we have to recognize that it is a choice. I know we like to play the victim. I know it's easy in these terrible times, as said in 2 Timothy 3, that we think it's something else that's causing it in us, but it's not. As we're going to finish up today, we're going to see that it's a product of us. It's something that we allow. But before we do that, let's do a review of where we've been thus far. First of all, the human heart by itself is a very treacherous thing. It was never meant to be by itself. It says in Jeremiah that the heart is deceitful beyond cure. Who can understand it? When Christ calls us, the only thing that keeps us from him is us hardening our hearts. We make that decision. We make the choice not to do it. And through his mercy and love, he still provides to us what we need in order to accept. But it's up to us if we're going to allow it to happen or not. Like I said, we're the ones who make that decision. Now, at times we're going to see where God has allowed or presented the hardening of a heart to people, like he did with Pharaoh, in which to glorify his name amongst the Israelites. But that's not an excuse. He doesn't harden my heart to keep me away from making the choice to salvation. So we cannot use that as the excuse. But there is going to come a time in lives, and we've seen that in John 12, that he said that their hearts are going to be hardened eventually, okay? And we see in Thessalonians where he said there's going to come a time where you're not going to be able to accept. So we have to realize that at this time, it's still our choice. We need to make the right choice and not hang around and act like it's nothing. Now, the dangers of having a hard heart is we choose the wrath side of God when that happens. Do you understand that? We're choosing it. In fact, the way you could tell a non-Christian, there are three characteristics that the Bible shows us in Romans 2. He shows self-seeking. That is when the purpose is me. Believe it or not, sometimes it's hard for people to understand. If I go to church for the purpose of me, do you understand that? I'm still sinning. And you'll know that because I'm not going there to get the word of God. I'm going there to feel good. I'm going there to make me get the answers that I want. That's why I'll search for an itching ear church. You see how that works. The other thing is rejecting the truth. It doesn't mean I don't accept any of the Bible. It means there's lots of it I will not. I'm just not doing. It's going to go against what my lifestyle and how I want to live. And you'll see me doing things. My life will display things that are definitely not in line with God. They are evil. Anytime you're not following God, you're evil. And the things that you're doing are evil. So those three things, self-seeking, reject the truth, and following evil. So we have to keep that focus, and we have to recognize that's not us. Unbelievers, because they're refuse because their hardened hearts resist the very God who can rescue them, right? Hardened hearts keep us from truly obeying God, and it leaves us vulnerable to sin. Like the Israelites missed their blessing due to hardened hearts, we are at risk of doing the same thing. And I'm talking about Christians, in which he gives us everything, and we're still choosing to go with how we feel, what we see, so on and so forth. Hardened heart will keep us from accepting Christ even when he is right in front of us. The things that he did with his disciples and with others, and people still questioned and still turned the other way and they end up still crucifying him, is the same thing that's happening with us. We clearly get instruction out of his word, but we still keep looking for other answers from temporary sources. Hardened hearts hurt our acceptance and understanding of Christ. And hardened hearts distorts our faith. And when it comes down to it, those that continue to stay hard-hearted are doomed. It said in Proverbs 29:1, a man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. And that's where we last left off. So now, finishing up, what things do we allow to make us have a hard heart? First of all, we can allow situations, others, and that's other people, life, and etc. In other words, anything to make us hard-hearted. As an example, we've seen in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 36:11-13, Zedekiah, who was a king, was 21 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 11 years. Now, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. You either got one of two outcomes as a king. You either did evil in the eyes of the Lord, or you did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Majority of them did evil in the eyes of the Lord, okay? And unfortunately, it was a choice still done. It says, and did not humble himself, which is a choice, before Jeremiah the prophet who spoke the word of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, at the time, King was chosen as an anointed one by God, given at that time to do his work. But he chose not to. Zedekiah didn't follow him. And it also says, who had made him take an oath in God's name. This is when Nebuchadnezzar was following God. He became, watch this, stiff-necked and hardened his heart. Stiff-necked and hardened his heart is something we chose to do. I became stubborn, and I allowed my hard heart. In other words, that part where I am not going to allow God to mold me. I'm going to stick with things that I believe, and it's not going to be in him, and would not turn to the Lord, the God of Israel. So all of these things are an example of what we too tend to do. We allow, and we just hope God's just going to give in to us, and that's how people are living today. Choosing desire / viewpoint instead of fearing God. In Proverbs 28:14, it says, blessed is the man who always fears the Lord. Keyword, always fears the Lord. We have people that have godly moments, and they want to pat themselves on the back. They want to give a testimony about those godly moments. And unfortunately, they're just minimal times of our lives. I mean, if somebody were to speak of our characteristic, would they truly, those who knew the Bible, said that person is godly? My life displays it. That's a person who always fears the Lord. But he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. He didn't say may fall into trouble. He says falls into trouble. It's guaranteed. It's going to happen. And you can really see these, and I put some points here to kind of solidify or give some clarity to it. It's going to be those that only follow God's commands when they're in agreement with me, right? I'll be very firm on those, and I'll follow organizations that have the ones I agree with. I will be able to find those things in the Bible. You could tell that the minute you bring another biblical thing to them, and all of a sudden they're like, well, or they have no answer for it. That's a hypocrite. Hypocrites are headed to hell, making this very clear. And this is how organizations get away with it, and we end up following them. You also see not leaving comfort zone for God. So there's certain things they can stand firm on, and they'll go after people with it. Man, they'll be supporters of it until you hit an issue in God's word that you don't care for as much, that really bothers you more. Now, when those things come up, once again, you'll see that hypocrisy in them and the hardening of heart, and also allowing other things to equal or bypass God as purpose. Remember, his own word says, if you love your mother or father more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. And what he's saying to us is not to stop loving our family. No, we love him will be the ultimate love for them. That's why even when we see an ultimate command, love your neighbor as yourself, how do we love ourselves? By loving the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. So the love will actually trickle down, if you will, to our rest of our family the right way. When we try to love on our own, it's not love. We're actually corrupting them, and we're putting them in danger. The other thing is pride. It's one of the major causes of a hard heart. Look at this example in Daniel 5, 18 through 21. In verse 18, O king, the Most High gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Okay? Because of the high position he gave him, all the peoples and the nations and men of every language dreaded and feared him. You see, God gave him this to where he became this ultimate king. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. So he had a lot of power and in what he could do based on God. But watch this. Verse 20, but when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride. Do you see that? Arrogant and hardened with pride. Now, you see many people that do that. We see people who are born with a talent or gain some sort of power or put in a very high position. They tend to then think and really believe their own hype, as if it's look at what I did, and you have their hype men behind them to push them up there, and you make it about them. Their hearts, their purpose becomes arrogance. Or if you just listen to me, everything I do is right. Do you see this? And then they're hardened with pride. Pride is drawing the line yourself. In other words, I'll follow God up to a point. God, I'll only do for you what you want me to do as long as I'm okay with it. I draw the lines. And it says he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. And look what happened to him. Verse 21, he was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and set over them anyone he wishes. Do you understand? So he had to recognize and show that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and set over anyone he wishes. So God is in control. He had no power that God couldn't give to him, because if he could, this wouldn't have happened to him. He would have stayed in power his way, doing his thing. Does not happen. And this is what happens to people when we get puffed up in ourselves and allow our pride to really go over that. So overall, thinking high of yourselves, we tend to question God's plan for us, making us useless, right? Because we question, we start doing our own things, and I think this is right on my own. Another way is refusing to receive and or understand the truth. In Matthew 13, 11 through 17, it says, he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. So he's talking to the disciples, and he's saying, I'm giving you clarity and understanding, right? And it hasn't been given to the rest of those guys who think they're religious leaders and understanding, okay? He says, whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Now, as a Christian, the more I get of Christ, I'm going to get more. Do you understand this? Those in the world who don't have Christ, don't let them fool you by pointing at other aspects of success, of what the world calls of being put on high, of receiving things that I desire. You're not actually getting more. You're being set up. And he said, whatever they do have, we'll be taking from them. He says in verse 13, watch this. This is why I speak to them in parables. People used to think parables are put out there to help give understanding. No, parables are actually there to give cloudiness, because it's not meant for them to get it. And he says very clear, to show, though seeing, they do not see, though hearing, they do not hear or understand. Now, he's not doing it too clouded from them. Only those who are really locked in spiritually are going to get it. We're going to see that in a little bit. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. We have many today who are Christian by name only, who are just part of organizations, and we go through feelings. And you just don't grow. The growth is not happening, and it's simply because you're a fleshly person claiming a spiritual God. And it doesn't mix. He says in verse 15, for this people's heart has become callous. There's the problem. If my heart was being molded by God, you would see growth. You'd see me letting go of things. Watch people in their lives, and they're clinging on to things and still trying to be Christian. That's a hard heart. Right? To the point where we've already had set up in our lives, even before we became Christians, things that meant so much to us. Now, how many of us reevaluated everything? Because if you weren't a Christian before, why on God's earth would it be valuable now? Have you ever asked that question? And he says, because of this, they hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. And that healing he's talking about is of sin. Sin is the ultimate sickness that leads to eternal death. So we have to understand that we want his salvation. If I'm hardly hearing and I'm not understanding and so on and so forth, it's setting me up to be doomed. And I'm not realizing it purposely, right? Because my heart becomes callous. And this is why we're misled by organizations down here and misleading ideologies. And it's not because we're the victim and we really meant well. It's because we won't let go. It's because we continue to cling on to what we feel is important, and we want God to have the same lead or guidance in that. Verse 16 says, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. The Old Testament got what they got, and that's all they had to present of this is how Christ is going to be, this is what the New Testament's going to be, this is what you're headed into. And they were locked in, not giving any more clarity on that. We now have full access of the reality, which is Christ. Do you see this? And he's saying, you guys have access to this, but many will not access this. You know how it says in the Word that, because the thing we've done, we've allowed the church to be infiltrated by worldly, brilliant people, which is actually a bad thing. We've allowed the people's intelligence of the world to come in to take over a spiritual church. Remember, he says, if you're wise by the standards of this world, become a fool in order that you may become wise. Why does he say that? Because the word we preach is spiritual word with spiritual truth, and it needs to be spiritually discerned. If I use worldly understanding and worldly guidance of trying to get it, I'm going to be confused, I'm going to corrupt it, and I'm going to mislead others, right? And he says this, that you'll see the same process because we're not completely seeking God, God's way. So we'll go to churches, and that's why people create different ways of worship. Even though he says there's one way of worship, we create different ways of praying to God, of being Christian. And this is why the church is so separated, because we're not truly seeking God. We're seeking our concept of God, and we're doing it our way instead of the guided step-by-steps he gives us in his word. And then secondly, while still doing that, at times mixing it with non-biblical doctrine. There are a lot of nonsense doctrine that's out there that people are following. I told you I used to read a lot of books because I thought that's what you were supposed to do. And the only thing I found out was every time I would allow those books that I thought were helping to clear up the Bible, they were actually corrupting the Bible. The only time and the only books that you should be using are the ones that truly use other scripture to solidify and give clarity to scripture. Not me giving another point of view or some outside reason. Those will become very confusing, very misleading. And unfortunately, we continue to go in that path. The other thing that makes us hard-hearted is when we lean upon our own understanding. Hopefully you know Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, where it lets us understand that, and just the verse, the very first verse of that, where he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. We never take the lean not upon your own understanding serious, right? We tend to allow that to kind of disappear and not realize that is harming us because it's making me not trust God. That's why you'll read the Bible. It'll say something that doesn't hit your understanding, and now you're in a battle. Instead of going, wait, this is what the Bible says versus what I feel, then I was wrong. That's how it should work. But we tend not to follow it that way. We lean upon our own understanding. So Mark 8, 14 through 21 says, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Now, he just gave them something that if they're following him, it was a spiritual discussion with the understanding through God that they had. But watch what they do. They discuss with one another and said, it is because we have no bread. All right. So they immediately go to the physical bread and not having bread. Right. He's saying, wait, is he saying that because we don't have bread? Aware of their discussion, verse 17, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? And why is he saying that? I'm going to show you. He says in verse 18, do you have eyes but fail to see, ears but fail to hear, and don't remember when I broke the 5 loaves of 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? In other words, here you are talking about bread and all this other stuff, right? And I have made so many bread with bread left over. This is spiritually talking about something else, and you're totally missing it. And we do the same thing. When the Bible clearly gives us instruction on life, we'll still go with what we see. Somebody said something to me. I'm angry at them. I'm going to react. But the Bible says to love them. And here we are still acting upon emotion and what I think and what I feel and not what God says. In other words, we use our intellect, worldly wisdom, experience, and anything else outside of God's understanding. And this is what, you know, really causes the confusion, and it's all because of this hardened heart. This is because we're leaning upon something else other than him. So, major problem. And the last thing we see that really causes this hardened heart is the remedy. That was the last thing. So the remedy for our hard heart is completely getting to know Christ and be transformed accordingly. Now, in saying that, when we say getting to know Christ, I think many people think, yep, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to church and I'm doing it. And this is why when you talk to different people who are Christian, have different viewpoints of Christ. Have you noticed that? Right? Some make him a very harsh Christ. Some make him a very biased Christ. Some make him a pushover Christ. All of these, how do we know which one to follow? So instead of us doing what we're supposed to, what we're about to read, we pick and choose. Which Christ do I like? Do you understand this? And we put that in the wrong way. We put that in the wrong position, if that makes sense, right? And so we cause problems with that, right? So understand what we're not doing is we're allowing the wrong teaching of Christ to be our teaching. Watch what he says in Ephesians 4, because it's going to show that to get him the right way is the main way we're going to remedy this hardened heart. So it shows in Ephesians 4, 20 to 24, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. So if you read a little earlier in this passage, you'll see how they came to know Christ, which in turn meant they really didn't know Christ. He says, surely you heard of him and were taught in him, watch this, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. In other words, everything I know about Christ, I can show you in the word of Christ. It won't take some man and some book and some things from years ago and what I was taught and some historical tradition. I'll be able to show you firmly, this is Christ. It won't be some made up thing about Christ. It says, verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to do this, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. You have many people that come into Christianity because they think there were parts of them that were great, and they won't let go of those parts of them. In fact, they'll enhance those parts of them, while he just said, no, to put off your old self, and told you why, because it's being corrupted day by day. And be made new in the attitude of your minds. What does it say in Romans 12, verse 2? It says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed to the renewing of your mind, right? And then, if that's what's going to allow change to happen, but I have to stop doing it the fleshly, worldly way, and I have to now learn every spiritual way and renew to totally change how I think and how I do things. And then in turn, in verse 24, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Hard hearts come from us following religion, following emotion, following organizations, and not following God. You will be taught based only on truth, which is Christ. Like I said, everything you know about Christ, you'll be able to show soundly in his word. You will deny self and leave old ways and teachings. You will stop pulling these things and these mysteries and other books and other organizations and allowing the organization's doctrines and dialogue to get in the way. You'll have an overall new attitude and way of thinking. They won't hear you say, well, here's my experience. I've always dealt with it this way. You'll be able to give the it is written, the Lord says, and let me show you what I'm doing. And then it comes down to just being holy. You want them to see godliness in everything, not you in everything. This whole thing about a hard heart is our choice. We can either choose to allow it to continue and actually keep us from God, and we've seen the dangers of it, or we can get rid of it, tear off that stone, and allow him to mold, allow him to be seen through us, and stop allowing ourselves of getting in the way. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, thank you so much, dear Lord, for this opportunity to come together with you in your name. Thank you for your guidance, for your wisdom. Thank you for all that you provide to us, dear Lord, and just continue to help us to get rid of those things in our lives that we're allowing to hinder us. Help us, dear God, to do what we need to. Help us to stay focused on you. Help us to walk in your ways at all times. We thank you so much, dear Lord, for your word, for your truth, for your spirit, and for your son. We ask for all of these things in your son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, amen.